Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Kind of warm in here now.
It is a little warm in here. Okay. I'm sure it'll be warm and then cold and then warm again.
I didn't bring a sweatshirt. Boy. Did you?
No, I'm good.
You never do.
No, I'd be fine.
I'm usually prepared.
I'm usually not.
Not today.
Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. I am full-blown in the apartment search right now.
Yeah.
I figured out that this will be my 11th time moving since 2019. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And living in Nashville, it's cool, but it's finding apartments, not so cool. So doing good, but that's an ever-evolving journey I'm on right now.
Getting any better?
Hopefully today we're going to go do a walkthrough, which I just
all
love
right.
So much.
Walkthroughs are good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here is a countertop. And here is a bathroom.
Got to inspect closely.
That's right.
Pro tip, because I've done this a lot for anybody out there. Turn on the shower. Make sure they have good water pressure.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's very a good nice. Call. That's very important in life.
Yes, it is.
It is. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 will join us at 6:30. So looking forward to that conversation with Wes, who said on Twitter last night he gets his best work done early in the morning. So I don't know if that was being real or not, but that's what he said.
Is that
on
right?
Twitter last night. Yeah, that's
what okay. he said. Wes tweets a lot, man.
Wes does tweet a lot.
Wes tweets a lot.
Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com joining us at 7:30. He works for NHL.com, obviously. He's based out of Toronto, and it was an interesting day around there yesterday as they had their exit interview day in Toronto. And what's the future going to look like for some players? What's the future going to look like for certain coaches? We'll get into all that coming up at 7:30 as well. Looking forward to that. And then Teresa Walker at 8 o'clock talking Titans. So looking forward to all that. Lots to get to on the program here today. Joe, speaking of the Titans, I was digging around last night on the FanDuel Sportsbook, just kind of looking at some Titans things that they had. And the Titans over-under win total for 2023, 7.5 is the over-under for the Tennessee Titans, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Obviously, we now know the schedule and the order of which the games are going to be played. So a lot of win totals now coming out on the sportsbooks across the country. And the Titans, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, 7.5 is win total. They went 7-10 last year. Is 7.5 a fair over or under in your mind, Joe Rexroth?
Yeah, I think it's fair. Honestly, that over under is more complimentary with an I
yes.
of the Titans than I think a lot of the predictions we're seeing out there.
We'll get to one of those here in a minute.
Yeah, and I mean, you're setting it above, you know, the half win is above what you did last year.
Yeah.
So I do think it's fair. Look, if you're out there and you're convinced they're going to go 12-5, good for you. They could, but I think that's about right. That's about what I would. I mean, I guess 6.5 would seem pretty wild. But I honestly, like, if it was 8.5, I would have been a little bit surprised. Like, I think that's how people view the Titans, and I can't argue with that. Obviously, you're trying to set these to get money on both sides. If you're Las Vegas. So,
yep.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, Houston's over-under is at 6.5.
That's high.
Indy's is
yes,
at
6.5,
too. Yeah, 6.5. I saw Houston's. I was like, really? 6.5. Maybe they love C.J. Stroud. I don't know. But 6.5 is the over-under for Houston.
You got the whole list, like, all the way down?
I do.
So, what's the lowest?
Well, I've got it listed by team, so I'd have to click through each one of them individually.
That's fine. We've got time. It's the same. Well, it's 6 a.m. Go ahead.
That is true. My guess is the lowest is Arizona. And they're at 4.5.
They are 4.5?
4.5 is the over-under for the Cardinals.
So the thing with Arizona is, I agree, you know, they're missing some key pieces, and we don't know what the heck's going to happen with Kyler Murray, but are they that terrible?
They're pretty bad.
Yeah. I would have assumed the Panthers would have been.
Panthers are at 7.5. They're the same as Titans. I don't know if that's because of the division they play in. I don't know what it is.
Well, yeah, that is part of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean that's got to be part of it for all these teams, too, here. Yeah. The AFC and NFC South are our cheeks.
Tampa is 6.5. I mean, look, they're going to be very good. I mean, even Washington 6.5. So, yeah, I mean, Arizona's got to be the worst at 4.5.
Wow. A full two games clear of anybody else. Like I agree they'll be bad, but they don't feel like, you know, in some years where it's like, oh, the Jets, oh, my goodness, yeah. Or, you know, whoever. Like some years, or the Texans last year, doesn't feel like that to me. But, hey, we'll see.
We'll see. But the Titans are at 7.5. And really, like I'm looking around the rest of the league right now, there's a lot of 7.5. Now, I will say, Jags are at 9.5. So the over-under is 9.5 for Jacksonville. So that's a two-game difference between the Titans and the Jags. Titans do have the second-best win total over-under in the division. So they've got that going for them. But the Giants are at 7.5. Even the Bears are at 7.5. There's a lot of teams at 7.5 is a very popular number on this list of over-under win totals.
Dare I ask what the Lions are?
The Detroit Lions are 9.5.
Over-under. Take the over, everyone.
Yeah, 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 do that. Can't wait. Can't wait. You know, I will say, too, with the Titans, again, go through the schedule. There's going to be a couple of teams, you know, the games that are totally different than we think they're going to be and all that stuff.
But yeah.
I'd feel okay about the over on 7.5.
It's amazing because I'm looking and they don't have like the actual odds listed. You know, they do these random prop bets of like who's going to be the last undefeated team. They got like Kansas City to go 17-0. Like what are the odds on that? And they've got the last winless team. So I guess the last team that it takes the longest to find a win on the schedule. And they don't have the actual odds listed, but they do have like the teams in order. And it's Arizona is the most likely. Tampa is number 2. And the Tennessee Titans are listed as number 3
wow.
on this list.
Okay. Well, their schedule. So that's the thing. With stuff like that, it's always interesting to me. Like how much time is spent crafting that? Because I will say, looking at the Titans' schedule, it's hard enough early that I could see them being pretty good odds on that.
Yeah.
You know, so how closely are they actually studying schedules and setting these odds?
I'm sure they're studying it pretty close. I mean, look, I said when the schedule came out last week, I don't think it'll happen. But my first reaction when I saw the first four games was, they may not be favored in any one of those. Like, there's a good chance in the first four games they may not be favored in a single one of those games. That doesn't mean anything, but 0-4 could be a possibility. I said that last week. I don't believe that'll happen, but maybe that's reflective of that.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, early lines did come out, and I think this one was on FanDuel, and they had the Tennessee Titans as underdogs in 11 of the 17.
Yeah.
Pretty games. Wild. Interesting.
Yeah.
Boy. That's surprising when you go through that schedule. So they must
especially
be.
Especially factoring in they play Houston twice
yeah.
and Indy twice.
Carolina. At home. But apparently Carolina's going to be really good too.
I guess so.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So apparently like they're dogs against like Tampa Bay and Houston and stuff on the road, I guess.
Yes. So.
Indy? Indy might be cheeks too, you know. Let's not overlook how bad Indy can be.
They could
year.
Be bad. I mean, that's the interesting part because their own division, while the Titans, I think even if you're the most optimistic of Titans fan, you would agree that there are a couple of pretty big question marks about this team heading into the year. So, you know, that could go either way. We'll see how it goes. But they also have Houston in the division where there are question marks and Indy where there's gigantic question marks right now based on they go on Minshew. They go on with Anthony Richardson. What's going on there? I mean, so the division that they play in should help them in terms of what the over-under win total looks like. I just find it interesting that there's such a wide variety of opinions on the Titans right now. We're going to get to another wild one coming up here in just a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, if you base this on quarterback, and there's a lot more to it, but it's the most important thing. The Jags and Titans, to me, right now at this moment. It's Jags, and it's very close right after that. It's Titans, and then there's a big gap.
Yep.
Like, there should not be a one-game difference between the Titans and the Texans and Colts, in my opinion.
I don't think so either. You ready for our first trade proposal today on the text line?
Oh, goody.
Ron, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what is this I hear about Dalvin Cook? Let's go get him. I know he's a back, but at this point we need playmakers, and he's a playmaker.
If Dalvin Cook can become a slot receiver, I guess, then although he'd be better as an outside receiver, can he be an outside receiver?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Are you serious, Ron? Are you trolling us? Let us get back to us. Let me know if you're serious or trolling. Let's
pay Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook.
Let's have the
and the third rounder.
How about the most expensive running back room in history? How about that? That'll show the NFL.
Look, man, if you're going to be that running offense that we talked about yesterday, just lean into
it. The full house backfield, man. Yeah, sure.
Lean into it. I am interested to see what happens with him, by the way. Dalvin Cook, apparently, like, I guess there's rumors that he could be traded, but he's got a hefty price tag that comes along with it.
Yeah, what is his number? I mean,
like $13 million, isn't it?
Yeah, it's okay. It's up there. I mean, really good player. Interesting. Yeah, like who would be signing up for that?
$14 million cap hit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God, who's signing up for that?
I don't know, man. You would have to. I assume if you go trade for him, that you extended him and restructure. Would be my guess.
Probably. What team? Like, to me, it's got to be a team. It would have to be a team that's really good. That would be like a completing piece. Maybe, and you have draft capital to spare. I don't know. No one's jumping out at me as like, oh, that would totally transform that team. Because, like, you know,
I just send him to Philly. Why not?
Bills question mark.
I mean, the Raiders have a good back. I mean, what if? I mean, the Chiefs do wild stuff. What if the Chiefs got Dalvin Cook?
I mean, I could see it.
Hey, why not?
Why not? Dalvin, we're gonna run the ball 9 times today. We want you to have all 9 of them.
Yeah. What about the Dolphins?
Yeah. I mean,
what about the Bills?
Well, the Bills are interesting because, like, they're going to have to somewhat change the way they play, right? I mean, they're good, don't get me wrong, but when your prime, and we've talked about this before, when your primary threat is your quarterback running the ball, and I know he's huge, but at some point, that's probably going to catch up to him. That does not need to be your primary running threat. Just my thoughts on that matter.
You would think so.
615-737-1025.
We said that a year ago, too, though.
I know, we did. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next, including one publication who thinks they're going to be absolute cheeks. We'll get into that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, we found an interesting scheduling quirk for the Titans over the break. That week 14 Monday Night Football game, you know, some people were surprised that the Titans got a Monday Night Football game. And I guess maybe the league was a little bit too, because they've got the Titans and Dolphins playing on Monday Night Football in Week 14, and the Packers and the Giants playing at the exact same time on Monday Night Football in Week 14.
What?
Yeah. One's on ESPN, one's on ABC.
Explain that to me.
I absolutely hate that so that much not, for you, Robbie.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. It's going to be terrible.
Oh, but good. Also in general.
Yeah, but it's amazing that the two teams that you would want to watch, those would be the ones on this one. Because I don't think they've been doing the early late opener.
Right.
Like the double header.
They have another one, like week two, they have the Saints and the Panthers on Monday Night Football on ESPN at 7:15 Eastern time. And then the Browns and the Steelers later that night, an hour later, on ABC. So there's two times this year. Actually, they have it in week three, too. So they're going with a lot of doubleheaders on Monday Night Football this year, apparently. Philadelphia and Tampa Bay in week three, and L.A. and Cincinnati in week three as well. I don't like this. One game, Monday Night Football. That's all I want.
Yeah. I don't really – I'm not surprised about – different days. For example, they add the Black Friday game this year. Not surprised. I mean, ultimately, that's been a college football day. You knew the NFL doesn't care. Yeah, we'll take that too. Obviously, they've been all over Saturdays. They're spreading out with more games on Thanksgiving, all that stuff. I don't understand trying to make it more like just like a Sunday with multiple games on in different markets on a Monday night primetime. I'm sure there's a reason for it.
I'm sure it'll work.
Also, don't like the streaming only Peacock playoff game.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
Freaking out about that.
We're very mad about that.
But yeah, that's weird. I need to know. I did not see. You know, there's a lot of stuff written about the NFL schedule because, by golly, it's basically the Super Bowl of press releases.
Yeah,
it's the Super Bowl of TPS reports. But
and some postseason games.
Yeah,
what's that?
I said and some postseason games. It trumps them.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I have not really seen explanation of that or coverage of that. It's really weird.
Yeah, three weeks of Monday Night Football with two games. How about that?
Just those three.
Yeah.
Then everything else is. So what do Eli and Peyton do? Do they split up too?
Maybe.
They sit there in solo. One of them talks about one and one of them talks about the other.
Well, I can tell you this. Look, I'm just going to go out on a limb. If the Manning cast is a part of things in Week 14 and their choice is the Titans and the Dolphins or the Packers and the Giants, I'm going to guess that Peyton Manning and Eli Manning probably don't end up on the Titans and the Dolphins. Just a guess.
Yeah, they don't want the 16-13 game.
They do not.
Dolphins going to be salty on defense this year.
Yeah, folks. They are. David Long Jr. flying around. 615-737-1025, our phone number. So we talked about the Titans and expectations heading into this year, and I saw our friends at ESPN NFL Nation, of which Teron Davenport is a part of, and he did not make the rankings on this list, but he did comment on like the Titans part of it. They have the power rankings up of 1 through 32, the expectations of how these teams are ranked following the first part of free agency and now obviously following the draft as well as the schedule has come out. And the Tennessee Titans, according to ESPN NFL Nation, all the way down at number 28 in the National Football League. Now, the Colts and the Texans are also behind them, so they have the Colts at 29 and the Texans at 31, the Cardinals at 32.
Division.
What a just beautiful division, according to ESPN. But the Titans ranked at number 28 in the NFL, according to ESPN NFL Nation at this point. Not very good for the Tennessee Titans.
One spot behind the Monsters of the Midway, the mighty, mighty Chicago Bears.
That is correct.
Which, by the way, nice preseason opener there at a noon game, Titans-Bears preseason opener.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, 28th is, wow. So that's, again, that's behind the Bears. That's behind the Falcons. That's behind the Commanders.
Yep.
That's behind the Panthers. I mean, even like I'm looking at, they have the Patriots. I mean, they have the Steelers 15th. Who did Junie do these rankings?
Listen, the AFC South just rolling in at the bottom three, pretty much.
I mean, that's amazing. So the AFC, NFC South, let's see. Okay, obviously the Cardinals. That's everybody's consensus worst team. Okay, but you got Texans, Bucks, Colts, Titans, Falcons, and Panthers, and Saints. So 21 and below is
littered with AFC
or NFC South teams. Southern football in the NFL this year is like the USFL.
It's just brutal. But, I mean, let's think about that. Like, if the Titans are the 28th ranked team in the league, like, what does that project their record to be? Like, 5-12? Like, what is it?
Well, look, I mean, Dane Brugler, where did he have them picking? Fifth, right? I think.
Yeah, so maybe higher than that. Yeah, fourth, I think it was.
Yeah, so basically the same thing. So, I mean, to me, I don't even know if that's five wins. Is that five wins?
It may not be.
It may be four.
Yeah.
A nice 4-13.
It's hard for me to get there.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, I've been, you and I have talked about the wide receiver room. It's hard to get excited about this offense with the current state of that room. But with Vrabel and Tannehill and Henry and the defense, it's hard for me to get to, in this division that they play in, them being like the fourth or fifth worst team in the league.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's kind of consistent just in terms of whatever we think they are And I'm sure this is true in some local markets, but I feel like it's consistent. Whatever we think the Titans are, and you know, we can be right at times too, by the way, the league-wide or national outlook is considerably lower.
Yeah.
They were the number one seed 2 years ago.
They were.
They are now expected to be like total dog doo-doo.
Right. And look, I mean, if you force me to choose today, the Titans are not a playoff team. In my opinion, but there's a difference between not being a playoff team and being one of the worst teams in the NFL, which, I mean, they, like we've talked about this, it's not just ESPN. There are a lot of people that think the Titans are going to be just absolutely horrible next year. Just terrible.
What did I just pick them in my thing? What did I just pick them?
You said 9-8, didn't you? 9-8,
yeah. That's about what they are. I mean, again, if it goes bad early, then you have the possibility of, okay, let's see the rookie. Hey, it goes bad and the Jags are soaring early. Maybe you get to that. And then you take some lumps and you lose some games late that you could have won. You might have won if you were actually playing for something. I mean, that's possible. So in that scenario, I could buy it. But unless they have really bad luck with injuries, and as long as they start out and they're okay and they're not just totally out of it early, the last half of the schedule is – I don't want to say it's Candyland, but my goodness, there are a lot of winnable games on that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like four or five wins means losing to a lot of bad teams.
Well, and, you know, I'm not sitting here today and guaranteeing you that the Titans are going to sweep the Colts and the Texans. But, you know, I realize the Colts added Anthony Richardson and the Texans added C.J. Stroud. But, I mean, those two teams – they got a lot to figure out.
Well, I mean, at least, well, people do agree with that.
Yeah.
And they at least do give the Titans the respect of putting them just ahead of those two.
But, I mean, that's four right there if you just handle business. You're playing them twice each. Yeah. Now, is it going to work out that way where they win all four games? Probably not, because that's the way the NFL schedule goes. But
and the Falcons at home.
Falcons
and the Panthers at home.
Panthers.
And the Bucks on the road.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I personally don't think the Saints are that good. I think that's a very winnable opener.
For sure.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly winnable. Now, I would love – by the time we get to training camp, this is going to be a really interesting exercise because by the time you get through camp and we're right before the season, like at that point you pretty much know what the roster is. And you know what – you know mainly what it is now. Like Kuharsky's talked about this. The level of like significant adds that a team is going to make at this point has most of the time been figured out. Like you've got through the first round of free agency, you've gone through the draft at this point. So like some
the Julio trade hadn't happened 2 years
ago. Well, that is true. But like for the most part, your big adds have taken place to this point. So like we know, I think largely what the roster is going to be. But one thing we'll have to do like the Sunday or the Monday before they play their first game is just go through the schedule and see how many games they're actually favored in by the time camp rolls around. It's going to be – I don't think it's going to be very many.
Yeah, but again, I need to see that line that has, you know, the Texans favored and the Panthers and Falcons in this city are favored over them? I don't – that's wild to me. Ron, different topic, but we kind of touched on it. As an NFL fan, how many streaming apps am I going to need to watch some games this year? Well, you're definitely going to need Amazon and NBC, right?
Yep.
Peacock –
YouTube TV, too.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, if you want Sunday Ticket, get YouTube TV.
Well, that's for Sunday Ticket. But, I mean, he said to watch. So you can watch local, whatever the local broadcast is.
Right.
And then if you don't want to miss the national broadcast, you need
Amazon.
Peacock and Amazon.
Peacock.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. But, yeah, if you want Sunday Ticket.
I
don't want to
watch any other game, Ron.
Yeah, if you want the ticket, YouTube. I got to remember this, too.
God.
Going to change it up.
It's very annoying.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7. Got a lot to catch up on with the Tennessee Vols. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, May 26th, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Just text in the keyword GREEN, that's GREEN, right now to the text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to be entered to win. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7. Lots to catch up on the Vols front. The baseball team, all of a sudden, Joe, has taken off. They're 12-3 since the Vanderbilt series, where things were looking pretty rough for Tony Vitello on the Vols since then. Julian Phillips has entered the transfer portal, and we'll wait and see what happens on that front on the basketball part. And then we've gotten through the spring football part of Josh Heupel's crew over there as well. But baseball playing a whole lot better lately than they were this time about a month ago.
Yeah. Michelle almost talked trash about Kentucky yesterday, but then they lost 2 of 3.
She did.
But Kentucky,
they did win 10-0.
Kentucky got them 10-0 on Sunday. But, yeah, they've
– I blame Corey Curtis.
Yeah. That's who we'll blame.
But they've figured it out. There's no more, you know, there's no more bubble talk. No one uses the term bubble, but it's the same thing in baseball. So, you know, not really on the bubble anymore. They're going to be in. And, shoot, they could actually end up – they could end up finishing ahead of Vanderbilt, potentially, depending on how this weekend goes, which is wild.
It is wild. I mean, we were talking – I remember – so the Vanderbilt series with Tennessee was, I believe, April 21st was when that started. Yep, looking at the schedule. April 21st was when that started. And heading into that, they had lost 2 of 3 to Florida – and they had lost all 3 to Arkansas. They got swept by Arkansas, and then in the midweek game that week, they got beat by Tennessee Tech 12-5. And you're like, man, what is going on with Tennessee? And, you know, Vanderbilt was rolling at that time, and, you know, we all kind of were looking at the schedule for Tennessee. We had Tim Corbin on that day, and I was like, man, this could be a really big weekend for Vanderbilt here to kind of avenge some things after what we saw a year ago. And then Tennessee just mopped the floor with Vanderbilt that weekend. I mean, the first game was 4-3. They won
Which
Saturday.
Is a crazy comeback. That game was, I think, the season changer for Tennessee.
And the next day they won 17-1 against Vanderbilt. And really, they just haven't looked back since then. They lost 2 of 3 to Georgia. So they lost the Georgia series. Other than that, they've dropped 1 to Kentucky, and that's been it. They've won every other game other than that.
Yeah. Now, they're very – and this is true of Vanderbilt, too – much better home team. And that, you know, that place is a – you know, especially for a team that likes to hit with power, that place is very friendly to that team.
Yes.
So they, you know, they're going to have to do obviously better away from them. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to be hosting a super this year if they get to the super regionals. But still, you know, I think they've kind of figured things out with their pitching. Lindsay has really been a big stabilizer for them to become the Friday starter, and a lot of good young hitters in that lineup.
What do you make of Julian Phillips entering the transfer portal with Rick Barnes and just the movement, or in some cases lack thereof, that we've seen from the Vols so far this offseason?
So I saw there's a lot of expectation that he's going to go to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, what he's going to do is he's going to go to the NBA if, you know, if it works out for him. I mean, he wants to go to the NBA, and I believe Julian Phillips is good enough someday to play in the NBA. I think it's a disappointment for sure that he would look to go to a different college program. I mean, that's – you think about kind of what has gone on with this program over the years being kind of known as a development program, and that's a hit to them. He had a rough year. I don't really – I mean, I can't sit here and, like, blame Rick Barnes for his tough year. He had some injuries and stuff like that. But I do think that maybe this is a little bit of a commentary on what they do offensively, because sometimes it's just, to me, not coherent enough. So it would be a disappointment for sure for Tennessee to see him playing for another college program. And on that topic, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with Tyron Lawrence, who did not get invited, by the way, to the NBA Combine.
Yep.
He did the G League Combine, didn't get invited to the NBA Combine. So will he... You know, I think he's probably going to play college basketball next year. Is it possible he comes back to Vanderbilt? There's been some smoke about that as a possibility, or will he go somewhere else?
Well, that would be very welcome news for Vanderbilt if that was the case, if he came back. They need him badly next year.
Badly, yeah. I mean, it's one player, but, I mean, to me, like the outlook is very different either way, here or not here. But for Tennessee, they went into the portal and got some really good players. And that when they landed those guys, I'm like, okay, so this means, I guess, James and or Phillips are gone.
Yeah.
And I guess both will be. James could come back still. But, I like what they've done. I mean, I think they look like it's going to be a very different looking team next year. And we'll see what that means. But they do have more depth than, I think, people who can do different things on the perimeter.
We talked about Tennessee baseball. What about Vanderbilt baseball? Because, I mean, look, they've been largely really good all year long. We talked about the Tennessee series. That didn't go well for them. They responded after that and swept Kentucky. But since then, in the SEC, they have dropped the series to Alabama and have dropped the series to Florida over last weekend as well. And now we're closing down on the last SEC series of the regular season coming up against Arkansas later this weekend. What do you make of what Vanderbilt is and their recent stretch of play that hasn't been overly well for Tim Corbin in that group?
Well, I mean, they're having a Tennessee Titans kind of year. I mean, Carter Holt and Hunter Owen both got scratched in that from the Florida series.
Yep.
Neither of them is supposed to be season ending, but you're talking shoulder, upper body stuff, and that's a real problem. I think when Holton and Owen and those guys are all, and Futrell, everything, I think they have arguably the best pitching in the nation. But you take those two guys out, I mean, their offense, and this was the concern going into the year, is do they have enough hitting? And away from home, they have not had enough hitting at all. It's been really bad lately. So they have to dominate with pitching. Those guys are hurt. And now all of a sudden, I mean, I think they're probably not going to get a national seed, and which means not hosting Super Regional, which not long ago was unthinkable.
Yeah.
But you get swept by 4+, now they're probably not going to win the SEC East because Florida swept them. So it's, but what it comes down to is, can you get those guys back? Can you get Holton back? Can you get Owen back for the postseason? And I mean the postseason after the SEC tournament. That's what matters. You know, they're going to try to do what they can against Arkansas, number 3 in the country.
Yep.
You know, and it's a big series. If they could have a great series against them, then they could possibly still get a national seed. But either way, you got to get those pitchers back, and then they could make a run in the postseason. They're good enough with those pitchers. Their lineup has to wake up, though. It's rough right now.
It's rough right now, but we know that the ability is there, and we're getting close to the point of the year, Joe, where I ask you what has become an annual question here on the program, which is a good sign of what college baseball has been like in our state, but more likely to make a deep run to Omaha, Tennessee or Vanderbilt at this point.
I mean, I think at this point I'd have to go Tennessee because I just don't know what's going on with those two pitchers. I actually was talking to someone yesterday who said one of them, well, it didn't get specific, but one of them isn't too bad. One of them, it could be a little longer. I mean, they need them both in top form in a couple weeks. So with Tennessee kind of figuring things out, they still have a lot of arms, and the bats are cooking right now. I would have to go with them. And I, you know, it's obviously a totally different thing with the Vols in terms of, and they're going to go into this postseason without much pressure.
Yep.
You know, if they win their regional, they're going to be on the road for a super. It's a totally different deal with them as opposed to being the number one seed and the clear favorite to win it all last year.
Well, I had a buddy back that's big into Tennessee baseball, and back before like the Vanderbilt series, he's like, "Watch, this will be the team that actually makes it to like Omaha and makes it to the College World Series final, and then last year's team couldn't get out and even get to Omaha at that point." I was like, I don't know, man. They don't look very good. And ever since that series, they look pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. There's still tons of talent, you know. And they figure things out, and the defense is no longer a complete disaster. So, yeah, sometimes it works out that way. Kind of sneak up on people.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Lots of conversation in the TV world yesterday as it comes to the NFL. One former player joining forces with the TV network, and another TV network snatching up a wild card playoff game that's made everybody mad. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Mike Zeisberger coming up at 7:30 from NHL.com. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to all that. Just some news on the TV front yesterday in the National Football League. A couple of different items. Number one, Matt Ryan announcing yesterday on Twitter, former Colts quarterback, former Falcons quarterback, that he's excited to join the NFL on CBS family as an analyst. So he will be, in his words, breaking down the game this season. Also said in the same post that, P.S., this is not a retirement post, is what Matt Ryan said. So I don't really know what all that means, but Matt Ryan apparently going to CBS Sports this season as an analyst. I guess, does that mean that he's leaving the door open to still playing, I guess, is what that means. But Matt Ryan apparently on TV.
Yeah, that's how I take it. Like, hey, I'm good for, you know, good for you. Be open to it, you know. Maybe he can latch on somewhere. I don't know after last year what the market for him would be.
I don't know. Like, well, surely, you know, as a backup, he would be, you know, pretty popular, I would assume, as a backup quarterback. Now, yep. Then the question becomes, all right, do you want to be a backup quarterback if you're Matt Ryan, who's been a starter in the league forever? Some people do. Like, Matt Hasselbeck was a starter for a long time, and then he was a backup for a long time after that, and he collected his checks and moved on. But some people don't want to do that. Matt Ryan, I don't know. Like, does he have any appetite to being a backup quarterback after the way last season went for him? I can't imagine there's a scenario where he's a starter.
Right. So then it's like, I mean, I don't know what he's getting paid. I mean, some of the salaries for some of these guys are pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But is Matt Ryan coming right in? I mean, he's certainly going to be better than your entry level. You know, like Greg Olsen probably came in and made, you know, like rookie minimum for a TV color commentator, right? I'm sure Matt Ryan got a pretty good number. I would imagine you can get a better number as a backup.
You would think.
I don't know. I've been stunned by some of the numbers of some of these guys, you know, in broadcasting. I mean, my gosh, they're about to get Sean McVay out of the NFL.
Yeah.
But if it's remotely close to that, why would you come back to grind and not to be a starter?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it is kind of amazing that, you know, this time a year ago, we're getting ready to get into OTAs and all the reports out of Indianapolis was, oh, man, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is like he's the greatest leader since Peyton Manning in here. He's slinging the ball around.
Darts.
Man. Just throwing absolute missiles out there. And then we know how that went with Matt Ryan. And less than a year later, he's apparently joining CBS.
I mean, I still think he was a good leader. He said a lot of really good words to the awful team he quarterbacked.
He did. And then the other news yesterday in the NFL, Joe Rex wrote, is Peacock will air their first exclusive live-streamed NFL playoff game. So NBC, Universal, and the NFL announced yesterday that the wild card matchup that will be a primetime matchup on Saturday, January the 13th, will be exclusively streamed on Peacock. So last year you have the Thursday night football part of this with Amazon being streamed. You had to download the Amazon streaming if you wanted to watch Thursday night football, unless it was in your local market last year. And now an exclusive streaming playoff game on the in the wild card round coming up next January the 13th. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, and important point, local market, it will be on.
Correct.
Local markets. But I don't like it. I'm not surprised by it. I also look at this as something like, obviously, hey, look, if you're Peacock, which to me has not been, it just hasn't been one of those apps that I've really given much of a rip about,
yep,
or had any reason to. You know, obviously you're hoping that this becomes, you know, opens the door to a huge expansion of business. But to me, it's like, I mean, I don't watch true TV ever except for about 2 weeks of the year. And so I think it'll be like that for a lot of people. Very annoying. It's very annoying that the NFL wouldn't acknowledge that, you know, once you get to the playoffs, you should have things that are accessible to the larger group of people. But I think it's just going to be more and more like this moving forward. And the NFL can pretty much dictate terms.
Yeah, I mean, the Amazon thing was kind of the first step. And look, I mean, I had Amazon last year already, so it didn't really bother me all that much because my wife uses it for 3,000 other things that she buys on Amazon Prime. But I had the video app already. But I heard from a lot of people last year that just said, nah, yeah, I'm not watching Thursday Night Football. I don't care that much to download Amazon Prime and pay for it every month. So I don't know. Like, are people all across the country just going to start downloading Peacock to watch this football game? Maybe. But it's just a weird thing to me. Why not just leave things the way that they are?
Yeah, well, and I will say that I watched, like, Thursday Night Football, I have the app too, but I watched less Thursday Night Football than I had previously.
Agreed.
So, I mean, if it's a great game or, okay, you know, hey, it's close in the third quarter. Hey, oh, I'm still awake. Okay. But when it's a little bit more of a more effort to do something for me, you know, I think you're going to get, you know, fewer eyeballs on your product.
A lot of people are already saying that I bet it'll be either the AFC South division winner or the NFC South division winner that gets this game coming up on Peacock when January 13th rolls
around. You're probably right.
Say that there's a probably pretty good chance that could be the case.
Pretty good chance. Now, I suppose if, like, the visiting team is like the Cowboys or the wild card or something like that, maybe not. But, yeah, I think that's probably a safe bet. The Titans always used to get that, you know, that Saturday 2 p.m. kick like against the Bengals a couple years ago.
Nice first-round matchup between the Jags and the Dolphins coming up on the Peacock app in January. Calling my shot now.
I think I'd download the app to watch
well,
that.
Well, I might watch that.
I will be honest with you.
Maybe it's the like the Saints and the, I don't know, Packers.
Lions?
Lions, maybe so. Would you download it for the Lions?
No.
Joe.
No.
You would have to for your kids.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to we'll cross that bridge. I don't think we have to worry about that. I don't think we'll need to worry about that. Lions will be doing what we're doing, trying to figure out if they can download the Peacock app.
David in Arkansas says, you create a new account, do a 7-day free trial for Peacock, watch the game, and cancel the subscription. It's a simple solution.
Maybe. Yep. No, I mean, that's you'll see a lot of that.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I mean, binge a show and then cancel it.
Again, True TV. What are the shows on True TV?
I could not tell you one. Could not name one show. I don't watch actual TV anymore, though. Like, no. Unless it's every now and then, like local news or a sporting event, I don't watch.
Are you all stream?
Pretty much. I mean, I've got YouTube TV for the sports.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Because we still have regular TV.
Really?
Yeah, we're dumb. And then we have these other things, too. Like,
watch a lot of YouTube. But then I'm like, a lot of True TV?
I think we probably do have True TV, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's one of the channels. Is it one of the channels?
I don't know.
Regular channels on cable? I don't know.
I don't do cable.
Yeah. But then, like, sometimes I'm like, maybe we should do no streaming because it's actually, when you add it all up, it's more expensive. But now this stuff is going to, you know, you got to do the streaming. It's really tough.
Got a text that says, I think you may be underestimating a certain generation is just comfortable downloading multiple apps and even fine doing a 7-day trial. I guess talking about the younger generation.
Well, sure, but we're not only talking to young people on this show.
Although we are
hip. We don't discriminate by age.
We are hip with the young people on this program.
Yeah, we are, guys. I help this show be hip.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is you guys are about the same age, and yet I feel like you're in a totally different generation from us. And
Robbie, we're just in very different
Robbie's
stages.
In my generation. Why is that?
Because he's an old soul.
Yeah, very much.
No, but honestly, to the texter's point, I mean, I would never think of buying cable. Like, ever. Just Wi-Fi, give me all the logins, even though I'm still on my parents, and I don't ever plan on getting off of it. So that's the win-win situation. Find somebody you can log into.
Yeah. I get that. I still have this, you know, the live sports. Well, honestly, we've had kept it because of Sunday Ticket, though.
Yep.
So maybe it is ending now. Maybe it's about to end. Maybe this segment has helped me come to realize.
Well, maybe so. I mean, there are people that are mad as all heck about the Sunday Ticket price on YouTube TV too.
Do we know what that is?
So
it's
a lot.
Way high. It's way higher than it's been on DirecTV.
Well, because it's cheaper if you already have YouTube TV, if you already have a subscription to YouTube TV.
Yeah.
So if you already pay for that,
so what
it'll
if
be
you,
cheaper.
What if you just get a subscription and then you have it for a month?
Well, NFL season, though, is longer than.
No, but I'm saying, what if you get a subscription right now or like in July and you have it for a little while? Will it then be cheaper?
I couldn't tell you. I know YouTube TV NFL Sunday Ticket add-on, right? The price right now listed is $249. Red Zone add-ons, $289. And Primetime Channel NFL Sunday Ticket is $349. I don't know what that means.
Is that really that different than the DirecTV costs?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't have DirecTV. That's a
we'll
you
do
question.
Some research. Yeah. I mean, I think it was, I thought it was about a couple hundred
I was
bucks.
On the student price.
Is that a thing?
Oh, is that right?
It is a thing.
Okay. Josh Kentucky is strongly defending Peacock. All right, cool. Hey, I'm glad we got some Peacock fans out there.
I am too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll switch gears and get into a little hockey talk, including some interesting comments yesterday from a team that has been eliminated from the playoffs. It makes me wonder if some players that could be of interest to the Nashville Predators might soon become available. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.